appearing posthumously in 1976, the year Christie died. Christie had noticed that women, especially those in their later years who remained unmarried, were often patronised, overlooked, and underestimated. But the world's best-selling novelist knew well how little escapes such village stalwarts, that underneath demure lace caps could lurk the shrewdest of brains, capable of outsmarting even Scotland Yard's finest. Evil, after all, is just as easily found in the most picturesque corner of England as in the meanest city streets. Human nature is human nature, wherever you are. And so one of her most unforgettable characters came into being.
Evil in Small Places by Lucy Foley. Read by Alex Kingston. I wonder sometimes if there isn't a concentration of evil in small places.
What do you mean, Jane?
Prudence looked across at her former school friend, who sat in the armchair opposite with a small glass of cherry brandy. In the kind, warm glow of the fire, the marks of old age were flatteringly blurred. Jane Marple was so little changed in the important details from her girlhood self. The quick, bird-like manner, the bright, inquisitive eyes, the sense of a quiet, perhaps even formidable, intelligence. Just as Miss Marple opened her mouth to answer, a firecracker exploded in the darkness outside, followed by a series of shrieks and howls that might have come from the mouth of hell itself. Someone had begun to beat a drum. The two women could not see out as all the curtains had been drawn by Prudence's maid at 4 p.m. sharp. Fairweather House, imposing, Georgian, faced onto the main street of Meon Maltravers. And outside, in the gloaming, just beyond the windows, a pagan-looking throng was mustering. As the clamour from outside faded a little, Miss Marple spoke again. One is aware there is a great deal of wrongdoing in cities and larger towns, of course. The newspapers are desperate to make sure that we do not miss a single grisly detail. But I wonder if there aren't more terrible things happening in England's villages and hamlets than in its metropolises. Prudence pursed her lips.
Well, it's not true of me on Maltravers. This is a highly respectable place.
Meon Maltravers was a small town with red-tiled, flint-walled buildings built hugger-mugger across the centuries along its sloping, cobbled streets with soaring views over the South Downs towards the coast. It had certainly had the appearance of a respectable place when Miss Marple had arrived earlier in the light of day. But now darkness had fallen, and just at this moment came a new round of caterwauling and shrieks from the street. Miss Marple raised her eyebrows.
Are you sure?
Prudence waved a hand. Oh, just some local hijinks, perfectly harmless.
But you always did have a dark imagination, Jane.
This isn't imagination, dear. I've borne witness to it.
Miss Marple had been about to say, first hand, and speak to some of her experiences over the last few years, but again there was another small explosion outside. Perhaps it was no bad thing. Too much talk of evil had a way of discomforting one's companions, even those with constitutions as strong as Prudence's. Instead, in the next window of relative calm, Miss Marple said,
"People knowing one another's business, that's part of it. It gives rise to all sorts of misunderstandings and resentments. Boredom, too, that's another thing. No cinemas or theatres or restaurants to take people out of the humdrum. The terrible acts that are likely committed due to a simple lack of other things to do."
Prudence frowned and said, in her best head girl voice — she had, in fact, been head girl all those years ago — "I've been made to feel very welcome here since I lost poor George 15 years ago, which is no given thing, considering he..."